Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
Welcome back to the Gospel Rain Podcast. It's Micah. I'm sitting here with Matt. And Matt, I hope that your new year is already off to a good start.
It is.
So far, so good for me as well. It's been busy. It's been extremely busy.
I know the feeling.
And that's a good thing. But not too busy to spend some time drilling down into some important issues. And I know you're excited about doing that today. The topic today is... I know it's important to you, it is to me, and it's one of those things as pastors we hear quite a bit about. What about the salvation of young children? For example, my child's asking questions about being saved or maybe questions about being baptized.
Right.
So what do I do? My own experience is, as a dad, as my sons were growing up, I felt this. I mean, you want your children to be saved. You want them to come to know Jesus Christ and to follow Him and love Him. But when's the right time to engage them on the gospel, to press in on, you know, those kind of questions for them, especially if they're asking, what do we say? All of that is tied up into this particular question, what do I do?
It's a really good question. It's a really important topic, as like you said, one that we've both had to address, not just as pastors, but as parents. And you got to address this issue to your own children. And I feel the pain of that. I feel the pressure. Mm-hmm. I have. Mm-hmm. I have three of my children, my older children, that have been saved. My youngest is not yet. And there's pressure there because as a parent, you want to do the right thing, say the right thing. You want to share the gospel. But at the same time, people have the issue of, I don't want to push my child to do something that they're not ready to. So I get all those. So I get that. I mean, I get the pressure behind parents coming and asking those things. But let me just start with a few things I would remind a mom or a dad of that may be listening to us, how to help maybe get started in that conversation.
Okay.
First thing, although it makes you nervous as a parent to have the conversation with your child, it's a great thing that they're asking those questions.
Yeah.
It's probably a response to your faithfulness, maybe, as a parent, to share the gospel along the way, and now that's generated questions, so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe in response to a faithful Sunday school teacher teaching about Jesus, and so in your nervousness about it, at least celebrate the fact that they're asking the questions.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's a good thing. Secondly, just remember that not only is salvation a work of God, but so is the drawing of your child's heart to Him.
Yes.
John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And that word "draws" is really an interesting word in the original language. It's a word that was used in other places in the Gospels to describe the disciples dragging a net of fish, right? So it's the idea of your child is asking questions about wanting to be saved and wanting to trust in Jesus, then you can rest in the fact that your child is responding to the Father dragging him or drawing him, as that word says. Mm-hmm. So if they're asking questions, that's a good thing. And, you know, and I feel this, a lot of parents are putting an unnecessary pressure on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the idea of taking too much responsibility for their child's questions and responses. Now, we're responsible as parents.
Right.
All right, we have a responsibility to share the gospel. But you're not going to save your child.
Hmm.
You're not going to be the one to convict them of sin. You're not going to be the one to convince them of the truth of Jesus. All right? We have a responsibility to teach, but you're not going to save them. The job of saving them, convicting them, convincing them, that's all the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So don't take so much pressure on yourself as a parent that it's your responsibility to get them saved,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. No, it's the Lord's work.
That's good work.
So if your son or daughter's asking questions, just breathe a prayer of thanks that God is showing Himself to him or her, and be thankful. Now there's a lot more to be said about that kind of stuff, and we'll talk about that maybe later in another podcast. But the third thing, real quickly, I would say to a mom and dad, don't be afraid to talk about it. Some parents are scared of being asked a question they can't answer, right? They're going to look dumb. Susie's going to ask them a question they have no idea what the answer is to. They're going to ask them a deep, you know, a nine-year-old theological question that mom and dad has no clue about how to answer.
Like, did Adam and Eve have a belly button?
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. One of those, and you think, I don't know how to answer that, and so I'm not going to, I'm just not going to say anything. Well, don't be afraid of talking to them, and don't be afraid of looking dumb either. Like you're going to turn your child off to the gospel and little Johnny's going to go to hell because daddy didn't give the right answer to that question, you know, about the belly button or something like that, or whether we're supposed to pray as Jesus, you know, as kids will say, am I supposed to pray to God or to Jesus?
Right.
Or to both, you know, or whatever. And so some parents go, I don't know the answer to that, and so I'm just going to avoid it. So don't avoid it. Don't be afraid of it. This is important work. So don't be afraid of it. Don't avoid it. Learn your way through it. Don't sweat it. And remember, before you run to the preacher, which is okay, you can run to the preacher. We don't mind that.
That's
but
right.
Before you run to the preacher, just realize how your child is your child. You know him or her better than the preacher does.
That's right.
You know the conversations that have happened up until that point. Your child will most likely talk to you in a more honest manner than he will to a preacher. They're more, you know, coming into the preacher's office.
Because they often clam up, don't they?
Oh, right.
I mean, man.
Yeah, they get intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they're taught to do that. They're taught to do that in school. You know, you go to the principal's office. You know, you're nervous all of a sudden. Same way they go to the preacher's office. They get nervous. They get intimidated. So as a parent, you know them better than we do. So just don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
All right. So those are just a few things I would say before we get started, really.
You know, you raise a good point, too. As you were talking, I was thinking, you know, a parent is a disciple maker. And,
that's right.
You know, to lead your children to Christ and have a better understanding of Scripture and to be a better worshiper of God in spirit and truth, you have to be a disciple yourself. You have to be committed. So, I mean, you and I have degrees in biblical studies and theology, and so we've tackled a lot. We've thought about a lot of things ahead of time before our kids come and ask us. But each parent, I think, should have some due diligence in his or her own life to say, I'm on a journey too. I mean, I'm studying to know God. I'm studying to love Him better and to learn more about Him. And so if a child comes to you and asks a hard question, hey, I may not have the answer, but I'm learning too. Let's talk about it. What do you think? Here's what I think, and here's why. But a lot of times I think Christian parents, and this is the nature of our question today, Christian parents who want to see their kids saved, you know, this is the pressure they feel. And so at what point, you know, do we rest in the move of God like you talked about? God's going to do the drawing. He's going to do the convincing.
Right.
And then how much on the other side do we push in? And someone who says, but I don't want to push my child to a decision too early. I don't want to push them. You know, what do we make about that?
I get that. Deuteronomy 6, God teaches in there that He's expecting His people to teach their children about Him. It was their God-given responsibility as parents to be the greatest influence on their children to trust God.
Right.
In other words, He says, teach them about Me. And do everything you can to teach them about Me. That's where He says, you know, write it on the back of your hand, your forehead, write it on the doorposts of your house. Talk about it when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, during the day. God says, teach them about Me. And a lot of people will tell us in society that parents ought not influence their child to be religious. You know, that ought to be left up to them. Let them make up their own mind. My question is, why should I not influence them to be religious just to let you influence them to be not religious?
Right.
I mean, the culture is really going to influence them whether you want them to or not.
For
the culture is going to challenge. The culture is going to tear apart. Why would I not take that responsibility to teach them more about God and teach them to follow the ways of God?
Yes.
Our children are going to be influenced anyway. They're going to be pushed with or without us. We have the responsibility to teach them the truth. So don't be afraid of pushing your child to the belief in God. It's actually a God-given responsibility as Christians to do that. So take the responsibility as a disciple and teach your kids about God and do it in the ways God says, around the table at night, in the morning, and at church, and when you're not at church. But sometimes maybe be creative, but speak to your children about God and don't be afraid to have those conversations.
I like that. And you know, there's really a push and a pull, isn't there?
The
proactive teaching is
that's
kind
right.
of a push. I'm giving information to you, but I'm also, you know, asking you to do something. But the pull is that our kids ought to be able to see in our life the pattern of a disciple. So they're going to see me pray. They're going to hear me pray. They're going to see me study scripture. They're going to see me in church worshiping. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I would be present. You know, I pray as a man, as a father, and a husband. I'd be present in the church to model for my kids. So there's a come with me element. I'm pulling you along. But as Deuteronomy 6 says, you know, you're also to instruct along the way and those kind of things. And it's caught, but it's taught for sure.
That's right.
We got to do that. Now, the huge question, I think, is also kind of bubbling up to the surface in this conversation. And that is, when it comes to children being saved, and maybe this is a broader topic in the gospel itself, but what do kids need to know? What needs to be understood before they can be saved? Is there a set of a body of knowledge they need to know? But what is it that children need to know to be saved?
Well, there's no specific answer to that question in the Bible. And you're not going to turn to something that Paul said. And Paul said, hey, if you're going to witness to your kids, these are the nine things that you need to know. Yeah. I mean, so there's not going to be anywhere in the Bible you're going to go to find that. And so, but the Bible does give us plenty of guidance, though, as parents in that area. And so, first, as a parent, I want to talk about the story of Jesus, right? I want to share the gospel story, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection. I want to talk about those things to my kids. I want to tell them what Jesus came and did, how he healed people, what he taught. I want to teach them that Jesus came and died on a cross, that he was raised on the third day. So I want to teach the basic principles of the gospel. Do they believe that story to be true? Do they trust that he really came and died for them? Secondly, maybe I want to talk to them about sin.
Right.
Now, when we're talking about being saved, I want to see if a child can articulate at some level what we're talking about being saved from. Right? We're talking about being saved. We're talking about being saved from something. Mm-hmm. Well, they need to know what that is. If I need to be saved, why do I need to be saved? What's the problem?
Right.
And a child needs to know that there's a problem. Why is that child in trouble? Why does that child need to be rescued? Why does that child need to be saved? And they do need to understand that on some level. Now, the issue of salvation is more than just a belief in Jesus, but also that Jesus came to earth to do something, that he came to accomplish something, right? So if God came to earth, the king stepped down from his throne, then there must have been a very important reason why he would do that, to rescue us. And so I want to make sure a child understands that he is guilty of sin. And that's why they need Jesus to save them. Because we're using words like, save me.
Right.
I want Jesus to save me. I want them to understand that they're a sinner and need to be saved. John 16:8 says, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And then John 16, a few verses later, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit's going to bring conviction of sin. He's going to teach our children to trust in Jesus. He's going to teach our children the truth of Jesus as he uses us as parents. So when I'm talking to a child, my own children, I did the same thing. I do this with children who come into my office. I ask them to name some sins. What is sin? What do you think that is? And tell me some. Name some. Children can name sin.
Right.
And I've figured out in my time as a pastor that most of the time, lying will be, if not
top
the first one, it's going to be at the top of the list.
That's right.
So, because they already at 7, 8 years old, nobody taught them how to lie, right? We're born into the world sinners. We already know that. Even that 6-month-old baby that hadn't learned how to talk yet, that baby's a sinner. And that sin is going to really show itself the older that child gets. So when they get 6, 7, 8 years old and they're lying to a parent, nobody taught them how to do that.
Right.
That's their sinful nature. So I want them to understand that that's a sin.
Yeah.
So name some. Name, you know, lying and stealing and cheating and all that.
So how do we, the Bible talks about, in Corinthians, it talks about a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And we can talk about this idea a little bit later if you want to, how so many people's experience of salvation was they made some kind of decision or a commitment when they were a child, only later in life to realize, man, I don't think I was really saved.
Right.
Is there, how do we discern as parents whether or not our kids are just kind of upset that they did something wrong and they're feeling guilty about it?
Hmm.
And on the other side of the coin, a true, they talk about the conviction of the Holy Spirit, a true godly sorrow that, man, my offense is not that I just lied to my mama, but my offense is I'm against God in this.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, there should be that sorrow, mm-hmm. that feeling of I have done something wrong, you know, that has not only, like you said, hurt my mom or lied, you know, lied to my dad or something like that, but there is that God expects better of me, that I cannot do it on my own, and therefore I have sinned, I have fallen short of the glory of God, as the Word says, and I have now earned the consequences of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences of my sin, much like with a parent, when my children do something wrong, they're mm-hmm. going to get disciplined for mm-hmm. it, right? Mm-hmm. Not because I hate them, but because I love them. There are going to be consequences of that. So I want them to understand, too, when it comes to us talking about God, that when they sin, mm-hmm. they lie, steal, cheat, whatever it is, that there are consequences for that sin. And that consequence, when it comes to God, is not just that the child is going to have a bad day because of it, but that the ultimate consequence of that is hell.
Right.
And I know parents wince at that a little bit when you talk to their 8-year-old about hell, but they need to understand there is an ultimate consequence to their sin problem.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, they need to feel guilty, right? I mean, a child we hope that they feel guilty for lying or whatever it is, but we want them to understand that there are consequences of that when it comes to God, that there's an ultimate consequence to pay. Mm. So I don't know. I mean, I want a kid to understand that being saved is about asking Jesus to be Lord of his life.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just to, I don't know.
I just fire insurance from hell and everything we talk about.
Yeah, that guy. I want them to know that there's consequences of sin. Mm-hmm. And so when you're getting saved, you're not just adding Jesus to your life, or you're not just making a religious decision. You're turning your life over.
Right.
And even as a child, we can help explain what surrender is. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus is now going to be your master, your leader. You're going to serve him, that kind of thing. So, yeah. And I don't know. And the last thing, let me just say this real quickly, because this always comes up when we're talking about children. I want to clarify to a child, especially when they ask the question, I want to clarify what baptism is and what it's not. Oftentimes with kids, I've noticed, and that they've talked to their parents about this, mm-hmm. and it'll be generated by a friend who's been saved and then baptized or whatever. I have a kid come to me or a parent come to me saying, Johnny wants to be baptized.
Right.
Not that he wants to be saved. What usually comes first, or sometimes comes first, is he wants to be baptized.
That's right.
So then we have to backtrack and go back to the gospel and make sure that he's saved first.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to explain what baptism is and what it isn't. A lot of times our children are equating baptism with salvation because they saw it, you know, my friend got baptized, I saw him do that, I want to do that too, and they immediately, that equals salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to explain as a pastor and as a parent, you know, baptism is something that we want to do.
That's right.
We want to do that. We want to talk about that. But let's talk about being saved first. Let's talk about the gospel first. So I would want to clarify that as a parent.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, you know, theologically, you and I hold that baptism does not save you. It doesn't regenerate you. The gospel and belief in the gospel, God's the one who saves you. At the same time, we do affirm that a Christian properly understood is one who's been baptized, the New Testament.
Right.
So, you know, it teaches that. And at the same time, we want to say to a child or to a parent that's thinking about this, that's a good thing, but let's not get the cart before the horse. And the horse is their true belief and true repentance and those kind of things in the heart of a child. You know, I was struck by the text in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, where Jesus tells his disciples, let all the little children come to me and don't hinder them. And then what he says is really magnificent. He says, the kingdom of heaven is made up of such as these.
Hmm.
I think, wow, to think when you see a child whose heart is tender toward the things of God, that belief and trust is more easily given rather than pulled out
of the
heart of a hardened adult, you know, that has been shaking his fist at God for years and years and years, that we have a lot to learn about a child's receptivity to the things of God and how they're even, you know, thinking through at their own, you know, development, what does it look like for me to follow Jesus? Because for my kids, and this is probably your case as well, my kids grew up understanding the sky is blue, and they understand that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. Right. And so there's an informational aspect to this that a child, you know, that they're already coming to the Lord in some sense intellectually, because this is what they know.
Right.
But then they begin to wrestle with that sin you're talking about, and what does it look like to be Savior and Lord, I think is a huge thing. So for parents who are, you know, asking questions, and they're in this conversation with their kids, and nothing's really seems to be hitting home. They don't really understand enough yet, and as has been the case as a pastor for me, sitting across the table from a lot of children, they're not ready.
Right.
What happens if you get to that point and they're not ready?
Hmm.
What do you do?
I would instruct a parent, counsel a parent, keep praying. Don't make something happen that's not going, you know, in other words, don't speak for the child. I have a lot of parents who will come and they'll speak for the child. I ask the child, hey, what do you know about Jesus? Tell me the story about Jesus, or tell me about sin. And they clam up. Well, the parents start talking for them and start answering all the questions for them. Mm-hmm. Don't do that for them. It needs to be something that they understand. But I would just tell a parent, keep praying. Make that a matter of prayer, constant prayer. Keep teaching them. Don't stop teaching them. Mm-hmm. Share with them the gospel. Times that you get a chance to do that, keep doing it. Keep teaching them. Third, keep asking questions to gauge their understanding.
That's good.
Where are you? You know, you just start on their level. You know them better than we do as pastors. So ask them questions on their level that will help you understand where they are. Do they understand? Do they get it? Are they tracking with you as a parent? Or are they just not getting it at all? If they're not getting it at all, fine. Just keep teaching it, mm-hmm. right? Don't give up on it. Don't stop. Keep teaching them. Keep influence. Keep living for Jesus. Keep letting them see you live for Jesus in front of the world and go into church and, well, like you said, things like that, worship and all that. Mm-hmm. Let them see you do that, but just keep it before them and don't give up.
Yeah.
And don't take so much pressure on yourself as a parent to try to make something happen. Influence, teach, but the work of saving your child is not yours. Amen. The work of saving your child is God alone. He will save your child, and He will teach them. He will convict them. He will do all of the work in His own time. Mm-hmm. You can't. That's His timetable, not yours. But you can be what God has told you to be as a parent and influence them and share the gospel and be faithful. And that's what you can do as a parent. So I would speak to the parents for just a second that are listening to us. Don't be afraid of talking to your kid about it. If you need our help as pastors, man, please come see us. Find us. Mm-hmm. Don't shy away from it. We love to talk to you about your kids and your mm-hmm. kids' salvation. Come find us. Let us talk to your kids, too, with you in the room. Mm-hmm. We want to have that conversation. Great. But don't be afraid to do it for yourself as
That's
a parent.
Right.
Don't relegate that responsibility to somebody else when you have such a huge privilege of maybe being able to lead your own child to the Lord. Mm-hmm. What an opportunity you have. So don't give that to somebody else. Mm-hmm. If you need help, go get it. But man, if you have that privilege, I was able to have that privilege with my three children.
Mm-hmm.
And see them saved and hear him hear all three of them pray and trust Christ mm-hmm. and pour their heart out to them. And what a cool thing, not as a pastor, but as a dad. To be able to see that, you know?
Yeah.
What a neat thing. All right. What we want to do to end up our time together, just take a couple of minutes to share one more thing. I've got one more thing that I'll share with you about. This past Sunday evening, we had a missionary who came. I call him a missionary. They're doing the Lord's work. He and his wife are doing the Lord's work in Ukraine, Ray and Pam Tranham. And they came. They've been to our church a number of times over the last number of years. They've been in Ukraine for a couple of decades. Their responsibility is teaching at a theological seminary in Ukraine. And they're training leaders in and around the former Soviet Union to go and share the gospel and to start churches in the former Soviet Union, which is really, really a cool thing.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to hear what the Lord is doing on that side of the world and how God is blessing and using them in a huge way. So it was a really neat opportunity to be able to hear them speak and to share some things. But I will say about this, Ray said at the end of his presentation, come up and ask some questions if you want to. And he bribed people with candy, right? Ukraine candy.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool. So I went up and talked to him and I ate a piece of candy. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a piece after we're done because I brought some for
good.
You.
Sounds
but
good.
Man, I'm going to tell you, not all candy is created equal. I had some of that candy, and it's the best I've ever had. Mm. No lie. And it's only made in Ukraine. Mm. So today, when I get home, I'm ordering some. You got to order from it. It's got to be shipped from Ukraine. And so I'm just telling you, man, I was floored. Anyway, I won't tell that because I don't know that I should be doing some kind of a promotion of some other kind of company. I don't know. But anyway, it was really, really good. And so it was just neat to hear what the Lord's doing in different places in the world. What's your one more thing?
Well, that's awesome. Missionaries are my heroes, man. Yeah, frontline warriors.
Cool.
And really, really happy to hear that. One more thing from my part is just recently had a chance to go snow skiing. It's probably my fourth or fifth time to go snow skiing, and my whole family does now. My wife skis,
really?
And both my sons ski,
and you came back in one piece.
Came back in one piece. You know, enjoy Colorado. The runs out there are super long, and so you know you can really spend some good quality powder time. But I tried snowboarding this time.
Did you
first time? Yeah, I just started snow skiing and kind of picked it up, and kind of that was my trajectory for it. But I tried snowboarding. I didn't die, but I think I'm just going to stick with skiing, man.
Really?
Stick with skiing.
It was hard?
I don't want to be cool, but let's be honest. I'm a 40-year-old man,
yeah,
so
you
know, I ain't
worried
about
age,
snowboarding.
Man.
So that's one more thing.
That's cool. Well, I want to say thank you for listening to the Gospel Rain today. We hope you'll be back with us next week. We're going to begin a special two-part series on marriage, and I'm excited about this because we're going to have a couple of special guests with us on the program. Our wives.
Yeah.
Now, this ought to be very, very interesting and a lot of fun, I think. We've got a lot of couples in our churches who've been at this marriage thing a lot longer than either of us have, but also we've got a lot of younger couples who need the help and need all the help that they can get, need some people to talk about what marriage is like. And so we're going to be talking about love and romance, PG rated, right? And then we'll get on into some communication and conflict in part two. But we're excited about these gospel-centered conversations, and we hope that you'll join us next time for Gospel Rain.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.